Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues. Laba shata kabarato sipakarada bayabu shalabande. Ropokusula bagadia rambe shabalada baya. Jabalatun sabababalia kababu. Jabagada daba librahan. Make sure you are focused. Make sure very focused. Make sure you are very focused as we pray. Lift your voices. Make sure you are focused. Pray in the spirit. Pray. Labra shabaga baba borogodo shobragadiash. Malne bragadia baba. Rapaka shola baga baba ya kande bariga di braha shabala. Rabakun shabala gada baya gada bragadia kababu shara da baba baba yaka. Le bregadia kaba shola grabala gada bala baba 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 ragara baba 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 ragada ba. Librahanda shaba baba 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 baba. Lift your voices everywhere. Pray in the spirit. Pray. La bako shada braga babu shala rabaya. Shin na ma na na ya ne ba ya na ne ya. Yeah. Oh. Yananabu shanda de bababu shanda de ba irabu shanda na na iramamba yarare shanda babu umamba yane ne ne ya uvananamba yamba ya ubabananamba yamare bu shanda baba ya Shindra baba 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 yarabu shanda baba lena nama e bayana ne e banana ne manera ne basara ne marana ne dia o yanama shanda ne manano la 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 ne banana de o yanane basanda yanane bapo Hey, anana manja ne mayanano, mane mayanano. We bless Lord, we bless your name, Jesus. Hey, mayanane, basherade, mayakomanade. Oh, anana manja. Hey, anana manja. Lord, we give a praise, we worship you, Lord, we worship you, Lord. Hey, Anamaya, hey, Anamaya, hey, Anamaya, Mamaya, hey, Anamaya, oh, Nanane, Mane, Nanemaya, Nane. We bow before you. We honor you. With lifted hands, we worship you.
Can we all lift our hands as we're seated?
We bow before you.
Lift your hands.
We honor you.
With lifted hands, we worship you. With lifted hands, we lifted hands, we worship you, Lord. It's a simple song. I want everybody to sing with me. We lifted hands, we lifted, we worship Lord. Lift your hands, we lifted hands. Lord, we worship Lord. Lord, we worship Lord. Hey, we lift that hand. We worship you, Lord. Everybody lift your hand, yeah. We lift our hands, we lift our. We worship you, Lord, we are. Oh, yaranama, yaranama, shanna bragadia. We bow before you. Oh, we lay our crowns. Ooh, yeah, yeah. We lift our hands. We worship you. Oh, Rabakataya, we bow before you and we cast our crowns. Oh, God, yeah, we lift our hands. We worship you. We lift our hands, we lift our. We worship you, Lord. Everybody sing. We lift our hands, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we lift our hands, we lift. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we lift our hands, we lift our hands, we lift our hands. We worship you, Lord. Yeah. We worship you, Lord. Hey, we lift that hand, yeah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Oh, Yarabaya Kananane. We bow before you. Oh, God, oh, God. We lay our crowns. Yeah. We lift our hands. We are. We bow before you. We bow before. And we lay our crowns. We lay our. With lifted hands, we lift our. We worship the Lord, we. Oh, we bow before you, Lord, we bow before. We lay our crowns, God, we lay. With lifted hands, we lift high. We
worship, Lord. One more time, we bow before you. We bow before. We lay our crowns. We lay. With lifted hands, yeah, we lift hands. Oh, we.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We lifted hands, oh, we worship. We lifted hands, oh God, we were. We will bow then and worship you. We will bow then and worship you. Worship, oh, worship you, oh, bow then, and worship, oh, bow then, oh God, worship. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh. One more time, bow down and worship. Bow down and worship. We bow down and worship you, Lord. Bow down. We worship, Lord. Ooh, we worship Him. You are Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the King. You are Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the King. Oh, worship Him, worship. Oh, worship Him. One more time, Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the King. Oh, Jesus, the King of Kings, Jesus. Oh, worship Him, worship Him. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Oh. One more time, Jesus, the King of Kings, Jesus, the King. Oh, Jesus, the King of Kings, Jesus, the King. We worship You, worship. Oh, worship Him, oh. Consuming fire, sweet perfume. He's some prayer. Oh, for Thee. says, oh, oh, come and bow down, oh, and consume in fire, consume me. Your holy presence. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. One more time, consume in fire, consume in fire, sweep all. Hey. Arabashana mana ne barara doja ayaramo. One more time, everybody sing, consuming fire, consuming fire, sweet, oh. Ay, ay, abosha. Hey, hey, arabo, araba. Shara baba ya arabosha. Consuming fire, sweep every awesome breath, fill me for this holy crown. So come and bow.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your presence, your mighty presence. Thank you for your glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can everyone just say something beautiful to the Father? Just focus your heart. The ministration have started. Don't wait till the word comes. The Lord is already moving. He can be stuck to our arrangement. Go ahead and lift up a sound in your heart. Lift up a sound. The best way you can. Just lift up a sound. Lift up a sound.
Consuming fire. Sweet perfume, your some presence fills this place. For this is holy ground. So come and bow.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't know if you remember this song. And if you don't remember, I'll just gladly stop. It says, you say I am the vine, we are the branches, you will never leave me, I will never leave. You say I am the vine, we are the branches, we are the branch. Oh, you will never leave, and I will never, Lord, I will never. You say, we are the branches, we are the branch. Oh, I will never leave you. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Let's try to get into the word. I hope you are not feeling bored. Are you sure we're not answering for some people? Because if you're feeling bored, you need to become born again. Amen? Are you here? All right, let's get into the word. We won't talk about the love of God. It says understanding the love of God. And I need you all, maybe I should just say this. I am a preacher that can get distracted by movement. Alright? So when the word goes on, don't move. If you want to enjoy what God wants to tell you, don't talk to your neighbors. Don't operate your phones. Are we together? Alright? Ease yourselves before you come into church so that you are not pressed, right? And distracted. You know, when the word is going forth out from my mouth by the help of the Holy Spirit, imagine you stand up and go to the restroom. You miss a lot of things. That little moment, you miss a lot of things. So don't you think, let's agree, don't you think Satan can cause you to feel like easing yourself so that you miss the word? Remember the Bible says, I'm not saying some people legitimately are not pressed. Are we together? So that when somebody gets pressed so much the next time after eating so much beans, we will now come to church, and when he says I want to ease myself, the ushers will say it's a devil. Imagine the person releases the devil in church to be so bad. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I'm not saying anytime you feel like easing yourself, it is the are you in church? When I finally graduate with my PhD, this is a man saying something. He says, when I finally graduate with my PhD, not even my wife is allowed to call me baby. It will be Dr. Baby. Hallelujah. Alright, do we have some men that agree with this here? Okay, Dr. Babies. Amen. Alright, let's talk about the love of God. The love of God. Just a few scriptures, maybe one or two, to stir the fact that Jesus truly loves you. In Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord your God, let me see if I can get it in the TPT, so that I see what it is sweeter. Media, are we set? Or you have a problem? Zephaniah what? 3:17. Can we read together? For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight with his love. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Hallelujah. Let's see in the NKJV translation. And if you can give me the TPT too. And even the Amplified rendition. Are we ready? Let's read together. One, two, go. He said he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with what? Singing. Are we together? He will rejoice over you with what? Singing. Glory to God forevermore. Isn't this amazing? You know, somehow I feel the African church teaches us how to be hard. We are not soft. It teaches our heart to be so hard. That's why somehow you find that spiritual people don't know how to love. When they fall in love, they make it look like it's how do I put it? It's a king, and the king is the husband and the kingdom is the wife. You know, they make it look like that. They want to be tough. So you see, they place discipline in the front of love. Have you observed? Huh? That your father, for some of us, not everybody, some of us, we grew up knowing that our father is the king of the jungle. Alright? We just know he's the king. When he gives a word, it is a law. Right? How many of you growing up ever saw it? That a day, don't lie, you, a day your dad came into the house and said, "Oh, my baby, come here, come here." And he kissed your mother in your front. "Oh, my baby." If you ever saw a day like that, wave your hands. All right, don't lie. Like I said, or don't say, I think so. I think one day. If you are sure. If you are there, raise your hand. Let me see. All right. All of us here come from parents. Sometimes I'm saying I'm not even believing it, but I will not just say anything. All right. Hallelujah to Jesus. I mean, they were like that. You saw it. It was very difficult. In fact, at some point, if they say, if your dad tells your mom, "I love you," your mom will be shy. Have you observed that? How many of you have seen where your mom was blushing? You've seen your mom blush before. Like, "Dad, say, I love you, baby." And she's like, I beg. She now speaks when you don't mind this. Something. Or one thief, something like that. Tell him, I don't like this kind of thing. Hallelujah to Jesus. It was quite not everywhere. It was not a norm, alright? We just know that they are in love, but they don't show us the love. And some of our children are just coming forward. Hallelujah to Jesus. What God cannot do, we just wonder. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Because we've been taught to be tough. You know, one time, a dear lady here, said, complain about her parents, and I told her not to complain. They were being hard on her. So I said, "Don't complain. send them messages that you are going to do what they say, and write under it, I love you. And she did so. The dad was not really negating the energy. The dad easily kind of fell. But when she said to the mom, I love you, in the message, the mom did not reply the message, I love you too. All right? And when they were talking to the mom, she said, Mommy, I said I love you. And the mom changed it for her on the phone. Amen? She changed it for her. What is wrong with you? You know, it's not like the mom doesn't love her, but she's embarrassed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hearing I love you from her daughter, because she had not been hearing it from her. You said it yourself. Because if she has been receiving that thing, it's not just like raising a daughter and telling the daughter every day, I love you there. It's not a new thing. So that when one day Iska outside tomorrow say, I love you, she will not freeze. Say, what did you say? You love me? Jesus Christ. Nobody ever said that to me. But she has been hearing it from her father, what? Every day. From her mother, what? And nobody can lie to her. There are some of you seated here looking at me. Your heart is very tough. If somebody says, I love you too much, you will not even be happy. It's not a joke. Some of you sit there. There's a way somebody will say, I love you. You will not like it. Just like I was watching one skit. The Hausa boy called his friend and say, hey, for instance, Hassan. Hey, Hassan, I love you. Then Hassan said, catch him, nene. He said, I say I love you. He said, catch ubanka, shege, and iska. He now called the call. He insulted the young man for saying what? I love you. He's a suspect. You see, a lot of things have gone down in our world. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? You know the Bible said David and what's his name? Jonathan. Tell them to increase his volume. Are they selling the volume? Let them increase it. Amen? The Bible spoke about who and who? It said, the kind of love they had, is that is a love that is what? Stronger than what? Say it. You see, even yourself, you are wondering which kind of love is that. Let's say it wants to go. The Bible said the kind of love David and Jonathan had were what? That was a love stronger than what? Huh? Some of you are thinking that to repeat what Bible says is a sin now. Their love was so strong. And you know, before now, men used to fall in love like that. I said before now because I know what is happening everywhere now. Men used to fall in love like that. How many of you have observed that there's one friend that comes to your house that your father can leap for joy if he just hears his voice? How many of you have seen that kind of friend in your house? If your father was sad and the friend just speak outside, your father can just jump up and go outside. How many of you have seen it happen? That you were in the house, you his daughter. He did not laugh. But suddenly he heard that his friend's voice. He just stand up, sharp, and they hug themselves. So, and you are wondering, what of me, his daughter? Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, just that now, if you fall in love, if you act that kind of way, there's a way everybody looks at you. That you see one young man, two of you, just hold you and say, ah, my guy, I miss you. You're hugging yourself. Everybody will be like, they'll just snap you. As the news I saw on the internet, your name will be on Group D. Some of you did not see the information, right? They are removing some names, G's lovers. Some people's name was in batch 1. Some people's name was in batch 2. Some batch 3. If they see your name will be in batch 4. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. The world is getting sick because they don't understand the love of God. I was sharing with somebody. Let me share one experience I had. I shared with somebody the gospel. And he fell so much in love with Jesus that he almost started crying. I could see tears gathered on his face. And I said, can you describe God in one word? He said, God is simply love. I said, exactly. You got it, even though you didn't see it in the Bible. Is it the Bible like that? And I showed him where the Bible says God is love. So he was amazed. Then I said, is it possible for anybody to reject this salvation? He said, no way. No way. No way. Except you did not hear it. He said it himself. He said, except you didn't hear it, you can't reject God. I said, interesting. So he confessed. I didn't tell him to confess. He confessed all of his sins. And said some dreadful things that he was doing. Now, one of the things he said, not to mock him, of course, just to help you understand something, was that he was into fraud. You know this thing they call Yahoo? And he said he entered there because of money. So I told him, God can give you double of this money. And I didn't lie to him. I said, but you work hard. You must become responsible. You must learn a skill. I said, but before you know it, God will give you double of what you have been trying to get from the devil. And we accepted to bone the charm he uses and etc. Hallelujah to Jesus. And he was supposed to meet me the next day. He couldn't make it. And I called. And of course, I heard the mom's voice in the background, so I knew he was quite busy. So he explained and I said, fine. And he couldn't make it Sunday because he went to work, some sort of. And Monday, I didn't get a call from him. So Tuesday, one of the Tuesdays I called before service, I said to him, I didn't hear from you. Although the Lord had told me that the devil is trying to play a fast one. Then he said, sorry, sir, blah, blah, blah. He apologized and said he was going to call. So before I hung up, I said to him, but listen, the devil is like a what? Looking for souls. Don't think that the devil, this matter is very serious. Do you know the devil has deployed all his able forces in hell to make sure that your soul is not won? So he was amazed. I can tell from the call. He said, Pastor, do you know that from that day I left your house, Yahweh was working like never before? What you are saying is true. The money I made from that day that I was expecting was just dropping. And I laughed. The devil is really cunning. See, what is the devil trying to do? Remember the third temptation of Jesus. He said, if you give me your soul, what will happen? Because when you worship something, you are saying that thing, that deity you are worshiping, you crown the deity the Lord of your life. Alright? So, the devil was like, if you worship me, I'll give you all the glories of this world. And of course, the third temptation for me is a proof that Satan did not know Jesus. The third temptation to Jesus was a proof to me that the devil did not know Jesus before tempting him. No wonder the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, if he had known, he would have not what? Crucified the Lord of glory. Are we together? Because if he knew who Jesus was, there's no way you say, worship me. In fact, the sight of Jesus will be so dreadful for him, he will run away. Now, I believe he saw Jesus as one good man on the earth. You know, and of course, Satan had heard about the stories of the Son of God finding expression on the earth through our humanity. I'm very sure he had heard those stories. That's why he left heaven. Remember? Who is man that you be what? Mindful of him. That's why he left heaven. He didn't want that place to be executed, to be manifested. He wanted to be in charge. Are we together? Are you here? And he told Jesus, I believe he was trying to just find a way to some sort of know who the Messiah is and deal with the Messiah or kill the Messiah. In his wisdom, killing the Messiah will end the reign of the Messiah. Are we together? Are you here tonight? And the Bible said, the first temptation, he said, if you are the Son of God, that's another proof that he didn't know who Jesus was. If you are the Son of God, change stone to bread. He didn't know. He thought. Now, of course, he knew Jesus was anointed. He saw the miracles. Alright? He had seen it. And of course, he saw the fact that Jesus, you know, what is there to change stone to bread if you are Son of God? There's nothing there. Alright? There's nothing there. Jesus just needed to prove something. Now, Satan wanted to just, you know, Satan's kind of wants to see, these are Satan's tears of pride, this kind of question in time. to prove ourselves to people a lot of times is you on a pathway to death. When you find yourself trying to prove yourself to people, you've lost touch with God. You are not aligned with the Holy Spirit. And that steering to prove yourself, because you will not hear the voice of the devil literal. And that, don't think that Satan spoke to Jesus literal. No. Alright? You see, it's the storybooks that told us that, right? That Satan was standing with bat ears and horns and speaking to Jesus. You know, no. That's not it. How many of you have ever heard Satan speak to you? Can I see your hands up? All of you have not heard? Hello, righteous people. You didn't hear, but you've seen, right? How amazing. How many of you have ever heard Satan speak to you? Some of you are hypocrites. You don't like to look unrighteous. And that's a proof you're unrighteous. If you have ever heard Satan speak to you, raise your hands up and be bold. I know you guys were all sinners. So don't try to look like a righteous person. Alright? Satan had spoken to you. How did you steal the meat in the pot? Huh? That's the devil. Why did you steal that pen in secondary school? Why did you remove 1 10 naira inside 20 bundle of 10 naira? Because you thought your mother would not suspect you. Hallelujah. A lot of sins. I can mention on and on and on. Why did you message that lady on Facebook? No, Pastor, because she's beautiful. Say the truth. Because you checked the profile and saw what your eyes had never seen before. And you message. The devil said, message it. Message her. You message. Then you didn't know when you started lying. I love you. Why did you say I love you? The devil. I hope you know the devil can inspire you to say I love you. Ladies, I hope you know the devil can inspire young men to say I love you. So it's not every I love you that comes from God. Peter said I love you. What did Jesus tell him? Get behind me. Satan sponsors some I love you. Are you people get out and trying to explain to you? Some of you, we don't need to explain it more to you. You know already. You know this gospel. Are we together? So you've all heard the voice of the devil, some sort of. Did he speak to you literally? How did he speak to you? You heard him. That's why Josmia, a beautiful woman of God, she wrote a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. Where is the battlefield for spiritual warfare? Alright? And that's why the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not. It said, but they are mighty in God by his word to pulling down strongholds. Alright? What are strongholds? Ideologies that have been in our hearts from culture, from our backgrounds. They've been standing so long in our hearts. They've now formed in our hearts as truths. Are we together? These are strongholds. They have been in our heart for a very long period of time. Let's describe some strongholds. Give me some example of strongholds. Body no be firewood. These are strongholds. Give me another example of strongholds. Nobody is perfect. These are what? Strongholds. Be here, listen carefully. Another example of stronghold. All fingers are not equal. I know some of you are surprised. That's a nice quote. You want to be the smallest one? We have all been created into God's what? Image and likeness. In God, all fingers are equal. Another example. All men are the same. They took this one personal. All men are the same. All men are scum. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm sure you've heard that joke. They say all men are dogs. Then I say, what category is your dad? And the lady refused to answer. Amen? There are a lot of lies, isn't it? Our people say, give me one. Your people don't say anything. Do you have Igbos in this place? The fathers of adage. Our people say, eh? For instance, Igede people now, there's an adage they have that is a stronghold. Our forefathers say, we must not marry a thief man. Because they planted 7 virgins and swore this swear. Anybody we marry, in Pekingo they die. In Pekingo they die, they die, they die. That's a stronghold. You know why your child will die? Because you believe it. If you marry a thief man or a thief woman, nothing will happen to you. The only thing you do that will happen is that you may lose your village people. And thank God for the scriptures. He said you've been called out from earth. So why are you bothered? Amen? I'm very sure some Igede people have seen beautiful damsels that the Lord probably was saying in their heart, but it's no go area. What tribe are you thief? Ah, red flag, oh, red flag. A man comes so cute, wonderful, loving, anointed, and he says, I love you, Miriam. Miriam says, what tribe are you, thief? Don't worry, the Lord said no. These things are strongholds. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? A lot of them. You are the firstborn of the family. You cannot marry another tribe. Strongholds. Our people know they marry their people. Strongholds. Because some of you, this is your husband. The Lord is giving you this wonderful man. This wonderful man to marry. I mean, a man is taking his time to train over the years. That nobody in your village is close to him. And God sends this man your way. But in the name of tribe, you refuse to marry that man. I know some people are saying, Alayo, for our village, people better pass him. You don't even know the person you're already arguing. That's biases of human being. Kind tribe. You know, one time I heard people comparing demons and witchcraft. Say our winch, strong pass una winch. That's the nature of man, competition. Say they even carry winch and enter inside. You don't try our village winch before. You get one time for our village where one man go cloud, he chained to bed, he can't come back. Which one don't happen for our village? Amen. So God brings some wonderful people your way in the name of tribe. You don't get married to them. Who lose? You are the one. Satan wants to steal from you. He will not begin to highlight the 7 virgins they kill. If anybody ever killed 7 virgins that you should not marry another tribe, he's in hell firstly. You should know that. Listen carefully. Look at me carefully. You should know. You know sometimes when I hear Africans say, I will follow what our forefathers have said. I'm wondering. I hope you know some of these forefathers are in hellfire. See, you're not answering me. You're scared. How can somebody create a tradition and kill 7 virgins? Why would you not go to hellfire? What God created, you buried. If there's anything like that, such a person is not in heaven. Unless he received Jesus before he's dead. It's the truth. Some of these cultures are rubbish. Are you listening to me? You all are kingdom people. You are waiting the return of the king, isn't it? You can't be a prey to all of these cultures. Are you listening to me? And the Bible says, whatever you lose for my sake in this world, he said you will gain 1,000-fold. Same in this world. Shebi, you understand what I'm trying to say? Imagine you marry an Igede lady. Huh? Take for instance. Let the Igede people be watching me. I know they will not be happy, but I'll say the truth. Probably Sonny is in love with a thief lady. Who knows? Amen? Imagine you get married to such a lady and you became so wealthy that Nigeria begins to rely on you. But you see, the only problem why the Igede people don't like you is because you married their lady. Now think about it. Do you think they will hate you? Or do you think they will bring a glorious return of their son back to the kingdom? I think the second option will work. There will be a glorious return of that young man who took their daughter. And with immediate effect, they will break the curse. You think I'm joking? Okay. Let it be written that I prophesied that it will end. Let it be written. Some of you that are getting it, write it down. Say, prophesy more, prophesy that it will end. It will end. And very soon, it will not be long from now. That will end. These are strongholds. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you hear words like, we are all human beings, oh. We are telling somebody we can be holy. He said, no. Maybe human being you be. You know what they are trying to say? That as long as you are a human being, you must be a what? A sinner. It's not possible. Because we are different. Say, I'm different. Very different. Very, very different. You know, the Bible says we are like aliens upon the face of the earth. At times, I have not been seen. How can you be born again and your father and mother still recognize some of the bad characters you had while growing up? Not even bad characters. Some of the traditions you were following while growing up, they still remember through you. You practice them. How? They should look at you and say, I can't recognize this young man again. Everything about his life has what? Change. The Bible said in James 1:18, let's see it briefly. It said, we're born again, begotten of the Father. Let's read it. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be what? A kind of first fruit of his creatures. Hallelujah. You know, in 1 Peter 1, was it 21? We read it. It said, we've been born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. Then how will you talk former things? Village things. Don't be so glued to your culture that you forget that you are from the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? Are you here? Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. We've been born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. 1 John 3:1, it says, see what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. He's shouting here. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Let me see it in the NLT and the TPT. Let's read the NLT. One to go. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. You say you won't take alcohol. What is that? Are you mad? Why are you doing? They don't know him. You say you don't want to be like everybody. You know, one time I was praying and I observed, I always say I'm perfect like Jesus. I'm so perfect like Jesus. That one time I was talking, I think with my parents, and I said, I'm perfect like Jesus. My dad now asked me, who can be perfect like Jesus? When he arrested me with the question, I didn't know how to answer him again because he knows some of my sins. So I said, yeah, we can be perfect. I said, me and you, we can be perfect like Jesus. Then he now smiled, are you perfect like Jesus? I took some time. I said, explaining. I said, yes, now that I'm born again. See, I have to explain to him. Because if I just say yes, he will arrest me. So when I said yes, now that I'm born again, he said, Simon. He didn't talk again. I know what he was remembering was the sins. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible said the love of God quiets us from our sin. Give me that scripture in the TPT. Zephaniah 3:17, TPT rendition. See what the Bible says in that part of scripture. 3:17, TPT rendition. Zephaniah 3:17. Huh? You don't have it in the TPT rendition? Why? How many of you have the TBT rendition in your phones? What? Okay, Old Testament does not have TBT. Yes, I observed that this evening too. I was looking for a book. I thought I didn't download it well. No, but I saw something. Okay, the Amplifier rendition. I saw something. I thought it was a TBT. Zephaniah 3:17. There's something I saw in bracket. I thought it was a TBT. Okay, here it is. Let's read together. One, two, go. Making no mention of your passings, he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. God is madly in love with you. Madly in love. He's obsessed with you. Obsessed. He loves you. I mean, if you understand the love of God, you'll be like a lady in love, you know? He loves you. He loves you so much. More than any man. More than any woman. Listen, more than your father and mother. I know you won't believe this, what I'm telling you. If they tell you I carry you in 9 months in my womb, you must marry them and say, God carried me. Before God put me in your womb, he knew me. The book of Psalms said, when your father and mother forsake you, the love of God will not forsake you. That's what the book of Psalms says. Now, I'm not creating a problem between you and your father and mother. Before you go home and quote that scripture for them. Do you know you have problem? Daddy, God loves me more than you love me. Are you hearing me? He said, no problem. It's fine. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? Amen. Are you understanding me tonight? God's love is wonderful. It's wonderful. It's sweet. All right, now watch me. Hallelujah to Jesus. No, it's so dreadful to imagine that, right? Go back a little bit. Now, this is a church in Corinth. They had a problem. You know what the problem is? The Holy Ghost just entered them. They just received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the fullness of the Holy Spirit on their inside. Listen carefully. When they received the Holy Spirit, this one started praying in tongues. Almost every of them, of course, were praying in tongues. But there were some different manifestations beyond tongues. As this one was praying in tongues, this one suddenly started saying, I see in the realm of the Spirit. And he was giving accurate prophecy. That you stole your mom's meat in the pot. The guy, Jesus. He looked at another person. It was being so accurate. And as they were shining, you know, this one wants to shine. Because they are not matured. Probably they were growing like that. And of course, maybe there was dispute. Do you get what I'm trying to say? According to history, the Bible said there was actually dispute in that church. Alright, history says that. And so Paul had to write to them to calm down. Amen? And suddenly, this man will rise up. And when he has a tongue, he cannot interpret it. He's interpreting it so well. This one now that is just praying in tongues alone is jealous of him. Why will this one be interpreted? And this one now is jealous of the fact that this one can just look at somebody and start telling the person about his life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Several manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Several manifestations. Are we together? And so there was dispute. So Paul had to write to them and said, you see, anyone you like, don't criticize the person. Don't backbite the person. Just desire it. You see it. Okay, if actually what I'm supposed to have, if we interpret it as gifting, if what this man is supposed to have, gifting simply means what this man has, this one cannot have. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Hey, I don't like when people look at me like they don't understand me. Do you understand me? According to the scriptures and according to our long-term interpretation of that part of scripture, what it simply means is that when this one has a gift, this one cannot have the gift. Right? So he has one gift here, this guy has another gift here. Isn't it? Paul said, instead of fighting, when he heard that they were having problem in the church, they were looking, you know, this one will see this one, and we're like, what, blah, 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 talking. Paul said, just desire the best gift.
Look at anybody and say, I like what I'm seeing there. I like it, Holy Ghost. Eagerly desired, when you desire to find expression. If, for instance, what this guy has, this one is not supposed to have. If this one desires it, will he find expression? Huh? So if it's a gift, like the way we interpreted it before, meaning what he has, this one should not have. Even if this one desires it, this one will not have what that person has. Because it's different gift, different gift. But because Paul knew that in his mind, beyond what the writer interpreted in English, Paul was not referring to gifted in terms of this one having something different and that one having something what? Different. He meant manifestations of the Spirit. So as we all receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, what I see as an expression in this person's life is not yet the expression in my life. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. Probably I had a need that demanded the prophetic, so the Holy Ghost flowed in that direction immediately he entered into me. Alright? He had a need that determined that the answer to that need was warfare prayers. You see the guy, I've seen people like that. They just get filled with the Holy Ghost. Pa, capital letter tongues. Have you seen people like that? Then you now say this one has gift of other tongues. You know, so funny. And when he goes back home, the guy will pray in 2 hours tongue that will scatter all the problem in his generation. He's not aware. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? This one another thing, that one another thing. Alright? And Paul said, desire the best one. Don't fight. Just desire. Say, I want it. It'll find expression. And I said to the leaders, one of the Saturday, I said, if it is gifts the way we said it, if you desire it, you will still know what? Have it. Now, but look at Paul. In 1 Corinthians 13, the base of 1 Corinthians 12, through the 1 Corinthians 13, he said, even though you eagerly desire spiritual gift, he said, but I show you a more excellent way. Now, Paul cannot just jump into another thing. Alright? Then he says, if you pray in tongues of men and of angels, what is that called according to 1 Corinthians 12? The gifts of tongues. Alright? Then he said, and I know not love. I am what? What is Paul doing? Comparing gifts and the more excellent way. You go to the next part. He will now compare another gift and a what? More excellent way. If I do this and I have no love, I am nothing. Meaning Paul is like, if you stay only within gifts, there will be a problem. There will be a limitation. You must go beyond gift to embracing fullness. Tell somebody embrace fullness. What is fullness? God. And who is God? Summarizes. The Bible says God is love. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So truly, if you have, the Bible did not say if you have the gift of praying in tongues, then you have passed from death to life. It is possible that you pray in tongues and still not know God, according to scriptures. You can pray in tongues, you can still prophesy and not know God. That's the danger of dwelling within gifts. That is why you hear that somebody is a prophet, he accurately sees. Some people think he is not seeing rightly. He is seeing rightly. And all of a sudden, that guy is doing bad things in the neighborhood. Sleeping around with ladies, stealing people's money. But do you know that prophetic gift is actually true? The only problem is that he dwelt in the realm of gifts. He didn't embrace fullness. So even though he had the gift, because he didn't encounter God in his love, in his fullness, he was not able to go beyond death toward life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It is in understanding God fully that you have encountered the glory of God. And if you encounter the glory of God, the Bible says you cannot continue in your sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? That is why some of you have seen people, or even you yourself, at some point of your life, you observe that you are a Christian, but you are being extremely immoral, wicked, and etc. And you are wondering, what kind of a Christian am I? It is because you dwell so much on giftings alone, you didn't embrace love. And that's why some of us are coming out to say that. You see, listen carefully. The message of Christianity is one. Respectfully speaking, I heard a dear minister of the gospel. He said, Christianity is like a marketplace. Everybody has his own message. You know, when you get to a market, you don't buy everything at a time. You see some people selling this and some people selling that, right? And not everybody is selling everything in the market. So then he now said, what it simply means is that some Christians, they need this, so God will make sure they meet that person, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not true. God did not say we should encounter him in a dimension. If that was enough, he would have not died, be buried, and resurrected. Because it was happening in the Old Testament. Are you all listening to me? People were encountering God in measures in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, God doesn't want anybody to encounter him in a measure. The Bible says, of his fullness have we encountered grace upon grace. Are you seeing that? So God wants us to encounter his fullness. That is why in Jesus he expressed his fullness. In John 1, he said, of his fullness have we received grace upon grace. Fullness, not measure. Are you listening to me? And that's why Ephesians 3 and 19 says, if you understand the love of God, you see, they connected the love of God down to fullness. He said, if you understand the love of God, you come into fullness. Let's read it, Ephesians 3 and 19. It said, in the Amplified Version, verse 20. Okay, let's see from 19, then we'll go to 20. It said, and that you may come to know practically, true personal what? The love of what? Which what? Fast. May knowledge without what? That you may be what? To what? All the fullness. So when you know the love of God, you get filled with everything that is God. Because God is. Are you seeing that? This simply means that why Paul is saying go beyond giftings to love is so that they go beyond giftings to fullness. Having a full experience of God. And that's why he said, where there are prophecies, they will cease. In the perfect kingdom, where there are prophecies, they will cease. Listen, if you think the prophetic is all to Christianity, then you will really not enjoy the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, nobody will prophesy to another person. You know why? Nobody will have any problem. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It said, for the Lord himself shall be our light. There will be no problem. Nothing will be hidden. Everything will be open. And you see, another reason is because any uncle that is trying to kill you will not be there. Any auntie trying to kill anybody will not be there. So there's a time the prophetic will cease. It will cease. Are you here tonight? Woo! Glory to God. He said, where there are tongues, they will cease. Those that think that tongues is everything to Christianity. They want to kill themselves with tongues. They want to make a name with tongues. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray in tongues. Every Christian should pray in tongues. But there are some people that their own Christianity now is tongues. They don't want to have wisdom. They don't want to go for wisdom, knowledge. They just want to pray in tongues. He said, where there are tongues, they will cease. They will cease. Because they are a means to an end. That's why the perfect picture of Christianity, Christ Jesus, didn't pray in tongues. Why? He's at the end of everything yet. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why he didn't pray in tongues. Because Bible says when we pray in tongues, what are we doing? Edifying. So if Jesus prayed, where is he edifying himself to? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Hey, are you here? Where is he edifying himself to? His fullness defined. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. And Jesus did not pray in tongues. Why will I pray in tongues? Kini call. Jesus is God. When we pray in tongues, tongues is for personal edification. Another reason for tongues, we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. Does Jesus have ignorance problem? Is there anything he wants to pray about? He is the essence of prayer. He is the reason for prayer. Why does he need to pray in tongues? Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you here? Are you here? So don't just dwell in the realm of giftings. And that is why some Christians that have not truly experienced God are very proud. Knowledge puffs up. Mere knowledge. True knowledge cannot puff you up. He said if you know God, you cannot continue. You see, there's a knowledge that will make sure you live like God. But there's another knowledge that puffs you up. So if you see anybody puffed up, is just mere knowledge, incomplete knowledge. The true knowledge of God will not puff anybody up. It will make everybody humble. Are you listening to me tonight? You can be seated. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. So the love of God is beyond you. Are you seeing that it's beyond all these human emotions? God loves me. Don't just cry. He truly loves you. In fact, if you understand his love, you will blush. He loves you so well. But to the end of something, the love is for a purpose.
If you truly have experienced His love, you'll be nudged into kingdom. You'll be nudged into fullness. You can't love Him and be weak. You can't know His love and be broke. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You can't know His love and settle down for mediocrity. It's not possible. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So this is the love of God. If you truly understand the love of God, you can't talk small. You can't talk weakness. You only talk strength. He said, let the weak say I'm what? He said, let the poor say I'm what? That's a byproduct of understanding the love of God. And he said, one thing again, the love of God does not make you boast, proud, boast of your human measures of reaching God. See what Paul said. I think I showed you in Galatians 2, right? From 21. Let's see it. Galatians 2 from verse 21. Let me be sure, but open it for me. All right, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Wow. Let's read NKJV. From verse 20. Want to go. I have been crucified. Who loved me? Next part of scripture. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness, if you think righteousness come by human effort, Christ died in vain. Righteousness does not come by human effort. Listen, if you find yourself trying to show forth your righteousness, you are walking in the flesh. If you find yourself, you like to just prove to people that you are very holy. You are walking in the flesh. If you observe, Jesus did not even try to prove to anybody that is holy. Observe. He didn't. Peter almost made that mistake. Paul blasted him. He was sitting with the Gentiles and eating. When the Pharisees were coming, he left the Gentiles and ran away. When Paul observed it, he came publicly and said, the reason I'm telling you this thing publicly is so that the Gentiles and the Pharisees know that this is a wrong thing. And your followers. He said, how can you be eating with the Gentiles? Then you see the Pharisees and you run away. Why? Jesus came for all. Are you listening? What of Jesus? He enters Zacchaeus' house. It was a taboo. In fact, the Pharisees were thinking they were more righteous than Jesus. Do you know that? The Bible said, they said to Jesus that he liked food too much. He liked food. That's what the Pharisees said. You in your days, you tell people you like fasting too much. In Jesus' day, he didn't tell anybody. He didn't try to prove anything. Are you people getting out trying to explain? We never heard Jesus in scripture saying that you want to move in the glory. They are men. You cannot be a Christian and be sleeping too much. You cannot. We never read in the scriptures. You know, sometimes I wonder whether what these people are seeing is not what Jesus saw. It's like some people are seeing something different or bigger than what Jesus saw. Because see how Jesus explains scripture to us. You see a young preacher or a young apostle these days, the way they talk. How can you be eating anyhow? How can you be sleeping anyhow? You cannot, as a child of God, you want to make impact and you are sleeping 8 hours. 8 hours! Ha! 8 hours! Hey! Now, I'm not saying don't pray. If you don't pray, you're on your own. Hallelujah to Jesus. I was talking with a pastor, and he said, there are some things that move in the night. That is why night prayers are prophetic. And I said to him, I said, I do not agree. We're together. I said, I don't agree. He said, Pastor, now, wow. The Bible said, why men slept? I said, you see, I knew you quote that scripture. Why men slept?
Now, the Bible also said in Ephesians, it said, awake those that are asleep, O ye that are asleep, and Christ will shine into your heart. I say, is that in the night that they were sleeping? Jesus said, awake unto righteousness and sin not. He said, oh ye that are asleep, awake. So that sleep there, is it in the night? Sleep in sin and in death. So while men were walking in sin, the wrong sower came and sowed the wrong seeds. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And Jesus has spoken to us aforehand. He said there was nothing that he said that was without a parable. Meaning you cannot take a night there for a night. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? See, the wisdom of God is so clear. The Bible said in Romans 1, he said he created everything so that anybody that has sense will know that he exists. You can't look at the night and be saying night is for encounters. Listen carefully. There are people that didn't pray in the night and did greater things because of their mindset than some people that are shouting night prayers. For God to create night and make your body to start doing one kind in the night, God knows what he did. If you want to claim that you know better than God, what will hit you? You go and meet him very early. It's not a joke. How can you say you want to be living night, you don't want to sleep? You will die. Listen, let me share one deep truth. I may sound a little bit disrespectful. I heard some people explain something. What were they explaining? They were trying to show how that some fathers of faith prayed so much, and we ought to pray so much so too. And I agree, we have to pray so much, right? Now, they now give an example that shook me. They said there was a certain man who prayed on a mountain and he died while praying. So I said to myself, why did he die while praying? Why? They said because he stayed there and he didn't want to go home. He was just praying on the mountain. And I said, I don't think that's right. Now, if that man is a Nigerian, I think wherever he is in the glory, he will regret praying that long. Because look at the state of Nigeria. Listen carefully. Listen. Some people may say, Pastor. Let me show you a scripture before we continue. Are you getting scared? Pastor, what are you saying? Pastor, you have missed the mark. Let's see Isaiah 33:6. Before I continue, Isaiah 33:6. Relate with the Amplify. Give me the NKJV and the Amplify. And I want everybody to read. NKJV, if you want to go. Wisdom and knowledge and the strength of your salvation. Read the Amplify. And he will be the security. And I'll just settle for NKJV now. He said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. Now, what is the strength of your salvation? Wisdom and knowledge. In other words, if you pray so much without wisdom, without understanding the wisdom of God, you will not still walk in every reality of salvation. Prayer alone is not enough. It's that wisdom and what? Knowledge shall be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. Imagine somebody praying so much and he doesn't know Christ. Meanwhile, he's on Christ at the gate of hell with no word. Are you getting it now? That it is possible to pray so much and not understand the strength of your salvation, the stability of your salvation. God's word. If you misunderstand God's word, it doesn't matter how long you pray. Nothing will come out of it. That is why you see people who can pray so much, some of them that claim, in real sense, that's not actually prayer. Because if you truly pray so much, you should encounter God so much that you know how to talk and respect people. And while we're talking to with a young man, I remember the end of the story, I said, you will know this truth one day. And when you know it one day, don't look for me and thank me. Thank God.
Then I blocked him. I really don't need the thanksgiving. I said, thank God. I said, well, I'm studying, blah, 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 blah. You mean we'll remain in, the Bible says we'll be caught up in the clouds and there shall we be forever. Firstly, you are too shallow to even start with. I can't even start anything with you yet. You live in the clouds, in the air. So the Bible said we'll be in the air forever. Now, everything God creates in the beginning is always perfect. He doesn't perfect anything from the when he had created it from the beginning. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If God creates a barrel like this, from the beginning that barrel is perfect. He doesn't need to adjust it. God is the only person that does not do system updates. Because from the beginning, the end is in the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. If God creates a window, don't never update it. Because everything you ever want to update is in the beginning. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Glory to God forevermore. God does not need to update. If God created Apple, Apple will never update itself. Because he sees the end from the beginning. Not just that. He speaks the end from the beginning. That's what Isaiah said. Meaning if you look at the beginning, you have seen the end in God. In the beginning, he wants man to leave heaven on earth. At the end, he doesn't want man to be caught up in the cloud and live forever there. That means you should ask yourself, there's something Paul is saying here. And Paul can really teach you a lot of imagery. If you look at 1 Thessalonians, around 4-5, you see Paul explaining the second coming with even childbirth. A woman trying to give birth. A thief in the night. Who does that? Three imageries saying one thing. If you are not careful, you'll just be confused. I believe Paul was like Pastor Phil. He likes poem. So that when I told him you not do poem on Sunday morning, I saw him doing poem. That's how Paul is. Even games, sports, he used sport to explain God. Anything Paul did and knew, he used it. Hebrews 12, seeing was surrendered, it was a game in their days. Now, how the hell will you understand this thing if you don't understand that they are sports? Because if you are reading and say, Paul used their spot, you don't be seeing him saying, when you are reading, you did not see trousers there or canvas. You are like, which kind of sports? How did they run? That time it was sandals they were using to run. And if you want to run well, you now tight your belt well so that your gown, everybody was wearing gown that time, your gown will not fly. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Do you now understand what he meant by put on the belt of truth so that you can move very well? Because we say, belt of truth. How truth connect to belt? How truth? You were not in the days. Someone will say cloud now, you are looking, oh boy, now there we go do all our life. Mm-mm. This is a Bible language. And it takes another Bible part to explain that language. You can't take it literal. When you look at cloud in Daniel 7, were you not surprised that cloud there, the representation was the sense of the Most High shall take over the kingdom? Naturally, who will ever see cloud and think it should represent the scent of the Most High? Because cloud, prior to that time, had been a picture of judgment. And God is trying to say that three wicked kings will rise up as like beasts on the earth. The interpretation of Daniel 7, from verse 10, down through 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And he's saying that the judgment of the Lord will be this. The scent of the Most High will what? Take over the kingdom and will reign on the earth forever. Now, you can't be shallow and understand these things. It's not possible. Except you are humble. That's what the Bible says. Grace comes to what? The humble. And you know, one of the reasons why I'm in peace is this. I really don't care who is anti this wisdom. If you like, go to one apologia school, wherever. I don't care if you are against it. I'm in peace, firstly, because the Holy Spirit has showed me is the truth. That's number one. Number two, the greatest philosophers in the world agree with me. Or I agree with them. Let me put it like that. So who are you? Your school, they can even seize your license. They are the ones that give license. My Smuro agrees with this. Of blessed memory. Everybody calls him the wisdom bank until he came to rapture. They now withdraw the certificate from him and said, for him not to agree with us, it's not wisdom bank again.
He said, I don't agree with that wisdom. Anybody that is wise cannot just carry anything and put and start running with it. Are you listening to me? The man had a PhD in kingdom. PhD. He studied a lot of things. One time he's looking for, he wanted a professorship in another thing. So he said, what would I do? I've studied everything. Then he said, let me do something related to my faith as a pastor. He said the story. I watched it live on YouTube. He said, I had to pick kingdom to study. And I was so amazed. He said it with his mouth. Go and look for the video. He said, for more than 30 years, I didn't know, I didn't understand the gospel. That's what he said. Such a humble person. If you think I'm lying, go. Don't worry, I'll share the link for you people, some of you, this evening. That's what he said. Is that not like the parable of the kingdom? He said, one of the parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13 was this. That there was a certain man who saw treasure in a field. When he saw the treasure in a field, because of the treasure, he went home, met his wife, told the wife they have to buy that field. They sold everything they had, and they went and bought that field because of the treasure in the field, because he wanted to be the legitimate owner of that field. So how will he get that treasure? I mean, legitimate owner of that treasure. Imagine you go somewhere and you see treasure on that field. How do you own that treasure without anybody saying you stole it? Buy the land. So because of the treasure, he sold everything he had and bought the land. That's how Jesus explained the parable of the kingdom. Meaning that when you understand the kingdom, every achievement you've had, like Paul, I count everything but what? Junk. For the excellency of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Another parable just after that one says, there was a certain man, a parable of the kingdom, who found some precious pearls, and he sold everything he had just to get that pearls. Everything he had. That's the parable of the kingdom. Now, if you do the exegesis, it still connects with the love of God. What is the field? The world. What is the treasure in the world? You and I. Because of the treasure in the world, God wanted every treasure, every human being in this world. What did he do? He paid his life. Everything he had, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave everything. He emptied his account. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible said he was humble to death. Obedient to death. Meaning, death looked at God. God obeyed death and entered. Because he wanted you and I. It looks as if God was being foolish. But no, why did he want the whole world? Because of the human beings in the whole world. He had to pay a ransom for the whole world. The field is the world. Who are the treasure? Human beings. You see that? He gave up everything for you. Are you listening to me tonight? Everything. Everything that makes him God. Now, like Paul was saying in Galatians 2 from verse 21, it says, if you understand that righteousness comes by human efforts, he said, Christ died in vain. You must strip yourself of every human ability to be ushered into righteousness. He said, even faith is a gift, lest any man should boast. It's my faith that gave me. What is faith and what is the consequence of faith? All the things within faith, the parameters of faith. Prayer, fasting, giving. Our ability to even give to the things of God is a gift. Our ability to pray is a gift. Our ability to fast is a gift. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? You know, there's something you can know that can spoil your fasting. It can spoil your giving. It can spoil your praying. You see some brother praying so much, he's understood something deeper, the love of God. Paul said, when I understood these things, then I labored than they all, because I didn't want to waste the understanding, the great treasure that God has obtained for us on Calvary. He said, when I understood it, I said I needed to labor more than everybody. He said, I needed to labor more than everybody. There is no way you understand this great treasure of the kingdom and not want to labor in prayer. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? I tell you the truth. You know, somebody asked me, Pastor Simon, how did you start living this kind of life? I said to him, I can't remember the dates. Some people think I'm lying. I can't remember when I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I can't remember when I started living a glorious life. You know, he said, Pastor Simon, the day he became born again, he never said, no, I sinned some sins. It was still on the fence. You understand that your experience too. We're still on the fence. No, the first week, I'm born again, glory to God. Next week, this born again thing. I'm wondering what the hell I entered into.
Everybody is going somewhere. I want to go. And I remember, they will now be reminding you, you are born again. Oh. You know. So I went through that phase. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Then all of a sudden, when the Lord told me, go learn Christ. Woo! Glory to God. Go learn Christ. When I started learning Christ, I can't tell you when I left every wrong thing in my life. I just know that somehow I took a flight into the glory. That was a transformation. All of a sudden, my life changed. Are you here tonight? Christ is a message of scripture. In Luke 24:44, from verse 24 to 25, let's see it briefly before we close. Luke 24 from verse 24 yet, then 25, then we'll go to 44. It says, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Who is him that they did not see? Next part of scripture. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have spoken. Jesus was shouting here. O foolish ones. Jesus called people foolish. That Jesus. And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Amplified. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to trust and believe in everything that the prophet has spoken. Next part of scripture. Then he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Jesus is the one telling them. Now, Jesus did not come and say, you need an encounter. Forget about a written word. You need an encounter. When Jesus came to them, he took them back to the word. What he said through the prophets. He said, go and check it and believe it. If you understand it and have believed it, then you understand why I'm resurrected. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because even from the days of Jesus, there was this problem. People will hear the word of God and practice another thing. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Glory to God forevermore. And Jesus was mad at them. Next part of scripture. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he what? Expounded to them in all the scriptures. Things what? He didn't expound all the scriptures. Linguists, stand up. Stand up. He didn't expound all the scriptures to them. He expounded to them all the scriptures. You see, you've made me to forget what I want to say. And beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Last warning. The next one, you hold our banner. I've said that to you people before. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Please sleep, more sleep, please. Now, he didn't just expound all the scripture. He expounded the things written concerning him. What is scripture? Everything written concerning Jesus. Meaning scripture is not just everything written. The Bible said, thou shalt not be too righteous. Is it concerning Christ? He didn't expound that. He only expounded, stayed within the things written concerning himself. How do you know what is written concerning him and what is not written concerning him? Well, you know Christ is the light of scriptures. You use Christ to see the Old Testament. You know things that point to him and things that don't what? Point to him. Are you people get out trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus. He's a message. Glory to God forevermore. He's a message. Jesus is the message. And I'm wondering, you know, let's see verse 44 before I say this thing that I'm wondering. Verse 44. Sit down. 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. And all things must be fulfilled, which were what? And what? And what? Concerning me. Did you see that? What is the fulfillment? The resurrection. Jesus is resurrected. He died. He was buried. He is resurrected. That's the message of the scripture. I just wanted to touch that a little bit. But I said, if you
If you think righteousness comes by human effort, you will miss entering or understanding fully the love of God. And if you misunderstand the love of God, you cannot understand and operate properly in the kingdom of God. Now, something Paul said in verse 20, he said, it is no longer I. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Now it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives. Then he said, the faith, the life I live in the flesh. He said, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. Now, these are two different things. To have faith in God and to live by the faith of God is two different things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Bible in Hebrews spoke about faith towards God. But this one is the faith of God. So I live by the faith of God. Meaning that this is how you live your life. If you are in a situation where the sea is raging, all right, just shaking so much, and they woke you up and your boat is seeming like it wants to sink, you will not cry and say, God, oh, what will you do? You live by the faith. You act like Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He is a miniature microcosm of the kingdom. He is a picture of all human beings in the kingdom. Every human being in the kingdom ought to live like Jesus. That is why you hear in Acts of the Apostles, sometimes the Bible says, and they kept on teaching Christ. Sometimes the Bible says, and they kept on teaching the kingdom. You are wondering, what is the message? Is it Christ or the kingdom? They are the same thing. Preaching Christ is preaching the kingdom, because there is no kingdom without subject, and we are the subject of the kingdom. And to be qualified into this kingdom, we must look exactly like Christ. He is the reason why kingdom is a reality. Without Jesus Christ resurrected, kingdom can never become a reality. That is why when he resurrected, he said, now all authority. The word authority there is translated in Greek. The word is basilia. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. It's basilia. And it means authority. Authority. The king and his domain. Woo, glory. Little wonder I said in Matthew, it said, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Why? You are kings. Say, I'm a king. He wants to rule the earth through you. That is why when we find out the kingdom, we can sell everything for the kingdom, because the kingdom is everything. Because when we have the kingdom, we can get everything. Like the man who found some treasure in a piece of land. He sold all he got to get that land because of the treasure. When you understand the kingdom, it may look like he's taking everything from you. Some of you think like God is taking everything from you. He's not taking everything from you. He's getting you capacitated for everything. Capacitated for everything. That is why it seems like he's stripping you of some rights that other people are enjoying. That's why the Bible says somewhere, he said, don't you know that all things are yours? That's why he's getting you capacitated for all things. Say, all things are mine. All things are mine. So don't be like those dull Christians who Jesus called foolish. When you hear the word of God, believe it. Act on it. Don't just be a forgetful hearer. Go back home and fight the good fight of faith. Pray in the spirit. War with the word of God. Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold of the things God has given you. Lay hold of them. Are you listening to me? Because with the kingdom, you have everything. You've got God's rights. On earth as it is in heaven. You can say to the raging sea, be still, and it will obey you, because you now live by the faith of God. You live by the faith of God. Now, imagine God in Nigeria. Listen carefully. Imagine God in Benue State University. Imagine God closing his eyes to every woman that walks the streets because he doesn't want to be tempted. Can you imagine that? Why? Many years ago, I was in a class with a young man, and he said, Pastor, how do you people survive this school? He's a medical student, I think a doctor now. And I said, how do you mean? He said, look at how these ladies behave. Pastor, don't you observe what I observe in this school? I said, how do you mean? He said, when I move now, I have to close my eyes, else I will sin. So I said, imagine you are closing your eyes jokingly, and motor hit you and you die. What does it make any sense? I said, it's not God's way that you look at a lady and close your eyes. How can we say a lady is even a bad creation? You know, we've made it look like we have demonized ladies too much in this world. When you go to a minister conference, it's as if ladies are not ministers anymore. You want to live long? Avoid first sisters. First sisters. I had an apostle speak it. He said, the devil wanted to destroy me. He brought this fair damsel. If you say he was describing the woman, it was like this thing from the river of this. I was like, how this one like woman? No. You see, you must be careful. Don't demonize ladies. You must understand that God created ladies. The day I captured this truth, I was wondering whether it's the Holy Ghost that was teaching me. Have you seen ladies? You know, I'm a husband now, and I'm about to have a child, so I can talk like a man now. I'm not scared. Have you seen ladies with have you seen, come and answer this question. Come to. You have to answer this question yourselves. It's not me that will say it with my holy mouth. Now, look at the congregation. Don't lie, else the wrath of God comes upon you. Have you seen ladies with nice curves before? You've seen? Jesus Christ. Now, you've seen, isn't it? Look at us, church. We've not lost salvation. They say they've seen. I'm not going to ask another question because you are a new creation. Sit down. You've seen, isn't it, young men? Hey, young men, if you have seen nice curves before, lift your hands and say, glory. They've seen. Listen, God created them. Did Satan create those curves? You see a lady with nice, that's the work of the devil. God. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God created it. He created it the way it will attract you. You saw it, wow, Jesus. I rebuke this thought. Mm-mm. You are rebuking God. You know, I had a friend. Hey, Super Sam, why are you going to? Listen to me carefully. I had a friend many years ago. This is how we trained ourselves. When we see a beautiful lady, we don't say, Holy Ghost, fire, blood of Jesus. This is what we do. We start praying in tongues. When we just see, I don't mean that kind of your tongues of fear. When we just see the lady, by lebo kapai, lebranda skufai, jefrundi sapuria, la grunda, Lord, we give you eternal praise. You are creative. You are wonderful. Your hands. That's how we talk. I'm not joking. You don't see us laughing at the end. We don't turn. If you turn twice, that praise is not true. We just look and we just start giving. And suddenly you see us shake our hands and be laughing. We don't turn again. I'm not talking about those that will turn and be doing like, no. We give God praise. How creative he can be. God created them. And you are getting tempted by God's creation. Do you think God is happy like that? That he created a woman the way she is. And you, man, you look and say, hey, God, you are leaning down. Fire of purity. Where? The person that created the problem is the person you are seeking solution from. Pastor Simon, have you lost it? No. I've not lost it. Listen, most Christians, look at me here, Christians. You know our problem as Christians? Most of you, let me not assume that all of you don't steal. Most of you don't steal. Most of you don't lie, except some ladies. Most of you don't lie. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Except you have low self-esteem. That's when you lie. If you have high self-esteem, you don't lie. A lady asks, what are you eating? You say, Gari and granite. You don't lie. No, she says, I'm eating fried rice. If that's not your wife, if that's your wife, she will stay with you in Gari. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If she's not your wife, she will run away from you if you are eating Gari. Alright? Now, listen carefully. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Most Christians don't do all of these things. Lie, steal, blah, blah, blah. Most Christians don't. You know the one sin most Christians are crying to God for in church? You know all of you. You all know. You don't know? Huh? You know? Should I leave that side? Okay, you see. They say they know. How did you know? Are you prophets? You just know somewhere. You just look at me and you know. Wow. Prophetic bazooka. You know, immediately you look at me, you just know what I'm talking about. What is the sin? Richard, you know what I'm talking about? You see? We know. All Christians know. What is the sin? Immorality.
You are looking so nice in your heart. You've painted stupid picture. In your face, so nice. Your heart, stupid. Satan has painted all the picture. And when you come to church, the next thing is, mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Now listen, you are being a sincere person, but you are fighting wrongly. I will mention the name of the church, not to mock them, but I told a Deeper Life brother many years ago in my 200 level. We're good friends. We read together. And one time he came to church and he saw certain ladies with trousers. And he said, Prophet, you have to address this issue. Ha! That's not righteous. How can they come into the presence of the Lord with this kind of... I said, I really don't know how to start this one. I can't drive people away from it. He said, Prophet, you have to be bold and stand for the truth. I said, I cannot preach that kind of preaching. Then I said, what is even bad with trousers? He said, hey, you did not see those ladies by that side in the other side? Then I asked him, you saw? He said, hey now, they passed me. If his other brothers now, they will fall. I said, other brothers did not complain. Why are you complaining? Abi, you almost fall. The Bible said, it said, God does not tempt anyone with. It said, if a man be tempted, he's tempted of his own. Now your heart bad. Your heart is bad. It's not about the ladies wear. Some ladies can wear buba. And some men can still be prophets in that situation. Buba. Are you here tonight? You know what I'm trying to make you understand? God created women the way they are. And he didn't create women to kill your Christianity. He didn't create women to kill your Christianity. That when you see a woman looking at this, say, oh God, how can I survive this world? Jesus, if now you did this world, you go feed bear. No. The Bible said we don't have a savior that is what? Ignorant of the feelings. He knew that there's probability for all of this temptation. Yet the Bible says he stood and lived above it with his human nature. Remember, I say, Father, bless me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Meaning he didn't come on the earth and lived on the earth in the intensity of his supposed glory. And yet the Bible says he lived above sin. Meaning you can live. Now, you are not living on the earth from the former nature of Jesus while he was on the earth. He said, know no more Jesus in the flesh, but everyone begin to know Jesus in the spirit. He said, therefore, as regards what I've just said, if anybody be in Christ, who is Jesus in the spirit, all things are what? And everything is now what? He said, and all of these things about your nature now is new. Everything. You're talking, you're walking, everything about you is new. It's by the ability of God. If God cannot be tempted, I can be tempted. Pastor, why compare yourself with God? God said in his word, listen carefully. He said, because I cannot be tempted with evil, I will not tempt you with... Why will he compare himself to us? He has no problem. Then why am I scared? Sister Miriam, as he is, so are you. I beg, oh. I can never be like God. Who am I? I'm a pencil in the hand of my creator. Who am I? The breath from his nostrils can cause earthquake. Baba, forgive me, Simon. I am nothing. I'm useless. I'm dust. To dust I'm returning. To dust you return. You know what it means by that? It means your existence is finished. Nobody will know you again after now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. That was man speaking from the fall. Man in Christ cannot speak like that. The man in Christ says things like this. I have been crucified with Christ. The life that I live in the flesh is no longer I that live, but what? Christ that lives. He doesn't stop there. The man in Christ says this. He said, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. The man in Christ does not speak weakness. He says things like this. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthen. This is not the man in Christ speak. These are kingdom men. Are you listening? The man in Christ does not say, I will eat tomorrow, I will die. No. The man in Christ understands that just in a twinkle of an eye, God can cause a miracle that will get all my bank account filled in no time. The man in Christ knows that. If God was okay with the report of that woman, that widow woman,
he would have said, no problem, eat my dear daughter and die. But the prophet of the Lord told her, he said, it's a lie. In fact, let's create a joke out of this situation. Buy something for me to eat with your last money. It was a joke. God made a joke of the situation. And when it was over, he said, get jars, borrow from your neighbor. When she borrowed, God began to cause an overflow in every jar. It was just, you know, it was an overflow. God doesn't give you what you just need. If God wants to give her what she needs, it will be one jar. But because God knew that that one jar will not be enough, there will be an overflow. He said, get so much. And as long as there were jars, the Bible said that oil kept flowing. There's something I just speak here. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That's one side. Now, God doesn't want you to run over to the ground. Except you have a jar to fill the oil. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There will be no overflow. Yes, it's a God of overflow, but where are your jars? Where are your strategies? Where are your strategies? Where is the eye there? Yeah, there were 12 baskets remaining. What did he do with the 12 baskets? Did he say waste it? He said gather them. Let nothing be wasted. In other words, they can be overflow. Yes, only you will see that overflow. I'm the God of overflow, God speaking, but you only see it when you have your strategies in the right places. In places. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If your strategies are not there, you'll not see anything. You just know from scripture that I walk in the overflow. I can cause overflow. But without your jars, your strategies in place, the oil will not flow to the ground. I don't waste. I gather the 12 baskets. Are you here tonight? Are you getting church tonight? Glory to God forevermore. God loves me. God loves me. Why am I poor? Where is the strategy? And God will not cause rain on the earth because there is no one to manage the ground. No qualified manager. In other words, in the realm of the spirit, God doesn't send money before you come. He gives you the ability to manage the money. He waits for your ability to manage the money as your capacity to receive the money. Did you get what I just said? Your ability to manage is the capacity that ensures or qualifies you to receive the blessings of God. Meaning, no capacity to, managing ability, no capacity. So have no consciousness of anything in the flesh. Glory to God forevermore. No consciousness of anything in the flesh. No consciousness. We don't boast in the flesh, Paul speaking. He said, I have no confidence. Paul was my goodness. You know, one time I was reading, Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. What a man. He said, but the grace of God changed me. The chief of all sinners. That's what he said. And I looked at the present church. And I almost started crying because what people like to emphasize these days is people's sin. If you understand the grace of God and neglect the reproach of men, the report of men, you will go so far in life. You will mark your greatness from that day. Look at the things Paul did. He kept Christians. Yet no apostle that was spotless from day one can be compared to the works that God did through Paul. He can do mighty things through you. Are you seeing that now? There's no limit to what he can do by his grace. We don't come telling people we're this, we're that, we're righteous. It doesn't matter. You know, one time I was preaching and I almost made a mistake of saying something. The Lord said, don't say it. I don't need it. I don't need it. He said, don't say it. Else people that are not it will think that they are disqualified. Are you listening to me? There's no need. I want to stand up. Anybody here, if you know I've slept with you, stand up and come and tell anybody. God doesn't need those things. You didn't sleep with anybody. Glory to God. There's no need to announce it. And you know one funny thing I read one time. The Lord showed me. Elijah said, it's me alone that can do this thing for you. It's me alone that I'm not bowed to Baal. God looked at him, marveled. And God says, listen, Elijah, I have many prophets in the cave. They are just praying there. They have not bowed to Baal. You leave now, I remove you, replace you in less than 2 minutes. There are so many I'm training that I've not brought to the lamb light yet. So don't think you are the one that is saying, Lord, I love you. There are many that love me too. You are just privileged to be here. Are you listening to me? Don't ever think God doesn't have people. Don't ever think you are the only one God can use. Don't ever think that you are the most righteous. Are you listening to me?
When you start having that impression as a preacher, you are backsliding. In fact, it's a proof that you are backsliding. It's a proof of pride. There's no need. You know, it will pain you that you didn't talk about your good. How many of you have been there? You did a good thing, somebody's celebrating, but they didn't know you were the one that did it. And you were wondering, I wish they knew so that they can give me the glory. And God said, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Nobody needs to know. In fact, God speaks about giving. He said, what your right hand do? He said, your left hand should not know. This is the kind of people God wants to raise on the earth. He said, he that seeth in the secret, men may not see. He said, but me that see in the secret will reward where? And that's why I said, do not worry in well doing. In good, God is seeing it. If you are praying, God is seeing you. If you are fasting, God is seeing you. If you are giving, God is seeing you. If you are living uprightly, God is seeing. You don't need to announce it. You never slept with any lady apart from your wife. God saw. We don't need to know. He that seeth in the secret shall reward. Are you here to the people of God? Do you now understand the love of God? So talk, live, walk like the love of God. You know, one important point I wanted to hit is the fact that when you understand the love of God, you are not sin conscious. You don't have sin consciousness. You know what that means? You are not careful not to fall to sin. That's the reason why many people are in sin. Kill that consciousness. We'll pray for that tonight. Kill that consciousness. You don't say, God, please help me. I don't want to sin. You're like, I thank God for the cross. I died with Christ. He that is dead is freed completely from sin. Now, if I died and I'm resurrected with Christ, my new real life, which is hidden with Christ, is brought into manifestation. It is no longer I that but Christ that lives in me. There is no consciousness of sin anymore. Are you listening to me? You don't wake up in the morning and praying like this. Lord, help me not to sin. Mm-mm. Lord, thank you because I cannot sin. Sounds like pride, right? Huh? It's true. It sounds like pride, but that's the reality. Thank you because I cannot sin. Are you here? Lord, please help me not to sin. No, thank you. Thank you. I can't sin. He has said so that we may boldly, not fearfully sin. If he said you live above sin, you don't carefully say, I live above sin. Mm-mm. I live above sin. If he said you can do all things through Christ, who stretches you, what do you do? I can do all things. Not I can do all things. In case I don't do, people should not laugh at me. Oh, I can do all things. I live above immorality. The scripture says that you are a partaker of his divine nature and have escaped corruption in the flesh through lust. Then you now tell your neighbor, the Bible says we get new nature. We could not laugh down, should in case we fail before people will laugh us. No! The proof that you have faith is that you do it the way God wants you to do it. He has said so that you may what? Implicate yourself to the public. Nothing can happen. Are you here tonight? I cannot sin. They say, what did you say? I cannot sin. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. Pastor Simon, I've been suffering from this habit for several years. What habit? I've been in this immoral sin, blah, 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 blah. How do I come out of it? Tonight, if you see yourself the way I'm describing you, you are out from it. You are out from it. Is it? Oh, how do I explain? How many of you know of what we call escape velocity? Ah, that's the velocity that causes planes to go to a certain height and they are able to be what? Suspended in the air, isn't it? Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, they say anything that goes up must surely come down. That's the law of what? Gravity. Are you here tonight? That's the law of what? Gravity. Are we together? Now listen carefully. But the Bible speaks about some people that have escaped the corruption. Now God is like, normally every human being is supposed to sin, but you have escaped. More like anything that goes down, come down. Now anything that goes up in Christ cannot come down. God is saying now you are up and you cannot come down. There is no probability of sin. Because you are not a motor car, you are an airplane. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Your place is up, not down. One time Pastor Chris was teaching, he said, he read the story of a cat that caught a bird. And he said, you know what interests him the most? He said, what was the bird doing on the ground? What was it? What was it doing? It had the ability to go up. What was it doing on the ground? The problem was this, that the bird was on the ground. That's not its supposed realm. Now, we are not just any kind of birds. They that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, shall mount up wings as eagles. Our standard is not down, it's up. When you find us fighting, I feel the anointing. When you find us fighting the devil, we're in our realm. If you find somebody struggling with an addiction, he's in the wrong place. If you find somebody struggling with a habit, he's in the wrong place. If you get to the right place, how do you get there? In your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so you see. As you think glory, you are in glory. You are in glory. Forget the religious place. I'm telling you, you have to stay 50 years and pray in tongues. When you want to overcome loss, you pray 10 hours every day for 5 years. Then you overcome loss. That's chunks. That's John. Now, if anybody be in Christ, he is a what? All things are gone. All things. All things. All nature of sin. What did the Bible say in Romans 6:6? Let's really close. Firstly, as we close. It said that old man of sin has been crucified. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That old man that could sin. It has been crucified. That old man that can sin, that has the potency to sin, has been crucified. Are you listening to me tonight? Give me the Amplified rendition. It says, the Amplified. We know that our old self, our old human nature, without the Holy Spirit, was nailed. Is it going to be nailed? It was nailed to the cross with him, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In order, why did that happen? In order, this is the consequence, that our body of sin may be done away with, so that we will no longer be slaves to sin. Are you a slave to sin? If you are, you don't understand this scripture. It was nailed so that the body of sin will go. That body that could sin is destroyed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That body that had the potency to sin is gone. Listen, if you are in sin today, it's ignorance. My people perish for lack of what? But they that know the truth of what? Make them free. And he said, why are they in ignorance? He said, because my priests refuse. Yeah, I'm not a priest. I'm a prophet. And I'm preaching to you. He that the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Woo! And what I mean by I'm not a priest, I'm a prophet, is more like just being jovial. Priest there simply means a fivefold ministry. Pastors. Meaning if the pastor decides to see this truth, that's why the Bible says, honor them, give double honor to them that labor in the word and doctrine. When we dig out these unsearchable riches of Christ and give it to you, your life changes forever. The Bible did not say you conquered, so you are a conqueror. It said you are even more than a conqueror. Listen, I know what I'm telling you. These are not carnally devised fables. No. This is the truth of scripture. This is the wisdom of God. The unsearchable wisdom of Christ. The Bible speaks about a wisdom that has been hidden in ages past for our glory. This is the wisdom. What's the wisdom? Christ in you. The surety of glory. You go back home and you say, I'm off this life. What is the switch of faith? Action. As I speak now, faith is risen. How do you get your faith not to be dead but alive? Action. Pastor, what do you mean by action? Go back home and don't do that sin again. When the prompting comes, say, I will not do it. When the devil asks why, say, because I have a new nature. Bringing every thought to the obedience of the Christ. Every thought that seems to raise itself above, subjected it. As you get Satan subjected in your mind, you put chains physically on his hand in the realm of the spirit. If you say Satan, you rebuke him by a superior wisdom. And of course, we have that wisdom. Romans 8:2.
there is no probability of condemnation to them who are in Christ. He said, because they don't walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. Verse 2, he said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ, that law has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak because of that fleshy power. He said, Christ did. What did he do? He destroyed sin. Even sin in the flesh. Paul, a beautiful writer, he went ahead to say, the only reason you will still be walking in sin, if you are carnally minded. He said, if you set on your mind on the things of the flesh, you walk in the flesh. He said, but if you set your mind on the things of the spirit, you walk in the spirit. Then he said, to be carnally minded, verse 6, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. How do you become spiritually minded? See yourself like Christ. I'm like Christ. It's not just information, it's revelation. When you say I'm like Christ, you are talking about you beginning to live with every reality of Christ. Can Christ be sick? How will Christ talk in that situation? Can an addiction weigh Christ down? You don't have a savior that is ignorant of the feelings of your infirmity. It cannot. If it couldn't weigh Jesus down, and it will not weigh Jesus down, it cannot weigh me down. Simon, who are you? Like Christ. Homo Christus. I'm like Jesus. He's my me. As I see him, I see myself. As I see him, I see myself. He's my perfect mirror. The world information is not my perfect mirror. He is my perfect mirror. When I see him, I see myself. When I see him, he can be sick. I can be sick. He wouldn't sin. I can sin. He talks nicely to people. I talk nicely to people. He's full of love. I'm not full of hate. I'm full of love. If he can do it, I can do it. Amidst all the persecution, he didn't say, Lord, kill them now. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this present world. Meaning, you don't realize it yet, but you have the ability to forgive all your enemies. You have it. What did they do? Pastor, I was raped when I was young. God said, you can forgive them. That's how to heal. That's how to heal. Pastor, you don't know what that person did to me. God said you can forgive them. That's how to heal. If you refuse to forgive, you'll be in a cage. Satan will put you in a cage. I know of a lady. She wouldn't forgive her mom because she said the mom transferred HIV to her. Why did the mom transfer that to her? Because the mom said to herself, I want to punish her dad for cheating on me. And he gave that child. The mom transferred that. She told the dad and she did it. The child grew up living the consequence of the fight between her mom and her dad. And even though the mom is dead, the child told me, I can't forgive my mother. That was a bondage. By the spirit of prophecy, I picked it. I said, something is wrong. And when she opened up, I said, the first step is forgiveness. She started crying. She said, I cannot. I cannot. I said, yes, you can. If he says you can, you can. If he says you can, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Say, I can. Yes, I can. I can. I can. I can do all things. What a man. He said, if your enemy slaps you, Moses said, an eye for an eye. But I said to you, pray for your enemies. He didn't say, dodge the slap. He said, pray for your enemies. Pastor, but Jesus said, if your enemy slap you, taunt it. Now, what he meant there was that let it go. So that you don't go out there and when they slap you, remove the other cheek. You know, it's like just a light slide. Just go away. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you excited about the love of God? The love of God is beautiful. Like the young man who was preaching to said to me, he said, my summary to life about God is that God is simply love. And nobody who knows him can continue in the past. Nobody. Say, I have a life of glory. Say, my life is a life of glory. Say, I'm full of glory. I'm full of glory. I'm full of glory. I'm free in Christ Jesus. My sins are gone. My pains are gone. All my mistakes are gone. I release myself into the love of the Father. I accept the love of the Father. It rules my heart. The love of God constrains me. The love of God constrains me. I'm full of the love of God. I can forgive all my enemies. I can forgive all my enemies. I will not allow Satan destroy the quality of my personality by any hate, any backbiting, any envy, any hatred. I'm full of love. I'm full of love. I can never walk in offense. I do not walk in strife. My heart is full of love. So I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me. Now I live like him. I talk like him. I act like him. I see life like he sees life. I cannot be defeated, because nothing can separate me from the love of God. No sickness can separate me. No disease can separate me. Not even death can separate me. The love of God constrains me. Say, the Lord rejoices over me with singing. Oh, he loves me. Oh, he loves me. Oh, he loves me. And I can love him back. I can love him back. I can keep his word, because I've got his very nature. Because I've got his very nature. I've got the nature of God. It's working in me. It's working in me. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. God's life is at work in me. Oh, I have eternal life. His blood flows through my veins. I'm born again. I abide in him. Me in him, and he in me. I'm intertwined with God. I and the Father are one. I have same spirit with the Father. So I live on top only. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Woo! Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Shabbat the Lord. Shabbat the Lord. Lebranda Shako Baradaba. You amaze me, Lord, my God. You're so amazing, Lord, my God. You amaze me, Lord, my God. You're so amazing, Lord, my God. Hey, when I see you, I see myself. When I read of you, I see myself. Now you be my perfect mirror. I see myself.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.